from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Happy hour. Happy to be with you. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Idol, today on vacation, enjoying himself out there. But we're enjoying ourselves in here. Matt Scraby's alongside. He's back from vacation. He has a new lease on life after that visit to Dubuque.
I'm going to tell a great story on the Scraby Show.
That's right. Dubuque. The Scraby Chronicles return tonight.
Yes.
About an hour from now.
I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. Oh, maybe the hot Padres.
Padres rolled. Well, they didn't roll. They came back. 3 in the 9th. Beat Pittsburgh 7-6 today. They got a little lucky. Got to be honest about that. Double play ground ball would have ended the game. Instead, bases loaded, throw by the shortstop. O'Neill Cruz missed the first base bag by a wide margin. 2 runs came in on the play instead of the game being over, and the Padres took a 6-5 lead. Luis Arraez followed with an RBI double. Pittsburgh scored 1 in the bottom of the 9th. Against Suarez, but Robert finished it for his 25th save. Manny, a 2-run homer. Profar, or not Profar today, it was Peralta, 2-run homer today. Profar got hit by a pitch twice more today.
Yeah.
He's getting a little tired of that.
He's getting pretty ticked off, and I don't disagree.
Yeah, I think he was hit 4 times in this series, including last night, where you thought he could have been out for a month.
That is kind of crazy.
The way he got hit last night. And, you know, look, the 4th time was a slider, so there was no intent, but you can only get hit so many times before you start getting a little bit mad at something.
Yeah.
And somebody, Pirates come back here next week. Now, the Padres, you know, they haven't really retaliated a lot this year. It's worked for them, so I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to call for them to go running around, start hitting everybody. But maybe I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, a little part of you says you'd like to see, you know, the whole Washington National thing happened with Profar, and there was really no retribution other than beating the Nationals. Didn't they beat them all 6 times?
Yeah,
I think that, you know, probably sent the message you wanted to send, and I'm sure that's what Schilt's thinking, but God, I don't know.
It's the hardest thing in the world for me sometimes, but
yeah, you
being
feel
the
like,
bigger person.
Yeah, I know. That's not easy for a lot of us. But,
not to take revenge, but just to, you know, forgive the other person and move on.
I mean, Manny's been hit a bunch, it seems like, this year. Profar getting hit regularly now. Anyway, it is what it is. I know there's some people that want it. Some people say just keep winning games. I say get them back and win games. You know what I mean?
But like, that's counterproductive because then you're putting guys on base.
Here's the thing. The Padres, we looked it up today. The Padres have hit 43 batters this year as a staff.
Yep.
The Yankees have hit 73.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Aaron Boone is challenging the world, but that's a lot.
That is a lot.
30 more than the Padres have hit.
And then we looked up, like, to see if the Padres have been hit way more than everybody else, but they haven't.
No, Padres haven't been hit, I think, 42 times or something like that. Anyway, didn't matter in the end. Padres sweep the Pirates, move within 2.5 games of the Dodgers in the West. Arizona will try to keep pace with the Padres later on when they host the Phillies. Dodgers are idle today. Some other news to catch you up on. The United States men's basketball team provided some hope for those of us who really haven't been rooting for them to win the gold medal.
Like me?
Like me. No, those rooting
never
for
mind.
Them not
like
to win
you.
The gold
yes,
medal. Like
you're
me.
Treasonous.
Yes, the treasoners out there. Serbia led by 13 going to the fourth quarter, but the U.S. Outclassed them down the stretch. Steph Curry put in 36, including 9 threes. LeBron, you know, the guy's one of the best ever for a reason. Made some big plays. Embiid made some big shots. Durant, Serbia, which made 15 of 33s through three quarters, went 0 for 9 in the fourth. U.S. rallied for a 95-91 win. They'll take on France and Wembanyama for the gold medal on, I guess it's Saturday. A couple of other quick notes. I mean, this is crucial. NFL preseason week one is underway. The Lions have kicked a field goal.
Oh.
But the Giants just answered as I was speaking, Scraby.
Really?
Touchdown, Giants, G-men. The famous Eric Gray runs it in from 48 yards out, whoever he is.
I had him as an anytime touchdown scorer tonight.
Good for you. Well, you win. You cash in big.
It was plus 21,000.
Yeah, 2 million to 1. Eric Gray will score a touchdown, whoever that is. Giants lead 7-3 over Detroit. Carolina, New England, scoreless. All right, I told everybody, I promised everybody that by the end of this segment, you would all have a strong dislike for ESPN Plus staff writer Bradford Doolittle. This isn't the first time I've picked on Bradford Doolittle.
Old Bradford.
Yeah. As Scraby tells me, we'll probably never get him on the show.
Well, I definitely don't want to get him on the show because there has to be something said about how much you dislike his articles.
It's not just me. Wait till I tell you what he wrote today, and you tell me how many people will agree with me.
I know.
Now, first of all, this article is going to create controversy going in, so we know that. It's his awards watch with 2 months ago in the season.
Okay.
So he's basically going through all the big awards in baseball with 2 months ago in the season, and he's telling you who should win them and where everybody ranks.
Okay.
So we'll start with the American League, front runner, MVP, still Aaron Judge. But Bobby Witt Jr. closing the gap.
He's been amazing.
And Juan Soto third. So there you have that. NL MVP, still Shohei.
He's been struggling.
The guy that's closing in is Ketel Marte.
Really?
Yes.
He's getting MVP consideration.
He's got 29 home runs right now.
Hmm.
Marte
wow,
is number,
a lot.
Number two on this list for Francisco Lindor, three. Ellie De La Cruz, four. Jerks and Profar, five. Not bad. Again, it's Jerks and Profar, who we weren't really expecting to be in the MVP conversation.
We've completely lost the actual meaning of MVP, because Ellie De La Cruz...
Mm-hmm. Got like 60 stolen bases.
He does, but
he's
his team
reason
is
the
whatever.
Reds have done something.
Like, Jerks and Profar has put his team in a place where they're going to make the playoffs. The Reds, who knows?
Yeah. Well... Right.
And he struck out like 180 times this year.
That's true. When Ellie De La Cruz hits the ball, it's a triple.
But yeah. When he doesn't, it's a strikeout.
He doesn't hit it very often. All right, but that's not why you're going to strongly dislike Bradford Doolittle, because he has Profar fifth. AL Cy Young still goes with Tarik Skubal of Detroit.
Tarik.
I like to call him Tarik to make him sound more worldly.
I figured out why I call him Tariq, because there is a game named Turok, the dinosaur hunter back in the day. So okay. There you go.
Seth Lugo, former Padre, is second on this list. Garrett Crochet, third. Please knock Crochet out of the running.
Yeah, how is he even
just
up
for
there?
His attitude?
He doesn't even pitch full games anymore.
National League Cy Young, as of right now, according to Bradford Doolittle, this is interesting, Hunter Greene of the Reds.
That's an interesting choice.
Maybe Bradford Doolittle lives in Cincinnati.
What about Dylan Cease?
Hang on. Chris Sale is second. Zach Wheeler, third. Paul Skeens is fifth, just ahead of Dylan Cease.
Okay, all right. You scared me for a
Dylan
second.
Dylan Cease is sixth. Michael King is ninth. So you get two guys in the top 10 there. Rookie of the Year, American League frontrunner, Luis Gill, Yankees. Don't really know any of these other guys, so don't worry about
name
it.
Name them.
Right. Willier Abreu.
Okay.
Austin Wells, Hunter Gaddis.
Okay, never mind.
Like I said. Here we go now, National League Rookie of the Year. This is the one we've all been waiting for.
Hold on. Let me get something for this.
Who is Bradford Doolittle? Is it going to be Paul Skeens or is it going to be Jackson Merrill? Because it's a two-player race for the NL Award. And, of course, Bradford Doolittle goes with Paul Skeens. But that is not why you're going to strongly dislike Bradford Doolittle. Here's why you're going to strongly dislike Bradford Doolittle. Because after picking Paul Skeens as the front runner, Bradford Doolittle ranks Mason Wynn of the Cardinals second.
I got some pushback
on him. In the rookie
of
the year.
Yeah, people are saying he should win it.
Here's also why you're going to dislike Bradford Doolittle. Because after Mason Wynn, he has Shota Imanaga of the Cubs third. Are you kidding me? After Shota Imanaga, he's got Michael Bush of the Cubs fourth.
This is trouble.
After Michael Bush, he's got Tyler Fitzgerald of the Giants
that
fifth.
Was disgusting.
Bradford Doolittle with a straight face writing in today's ESPN Plus column. Seriously? You follow baseball? He has Jackson Merrill sixth. What?
That is insane.
Now, I will admit freely that we're in San Diego.
Yes, we are.
And we're looking at it through the San Diego goggles, if
yes,
you
we
will.
Are. Mm-hmm.
And we love everything this guy has done.
Well, what has he done wrong?
Nothing.
Exactly.
How can he be sixth? Jackson Merrill leads all rookies in average, home runs, RBIs, OPS, whatever
you
want.
I looked this up the other day. He also has turned the most double plays as a center fielder this year with four.
And he's played
four double plays.
He's played every day at a crucial position, oh, by the way, that he had never played before in his life. You rank him sixth?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Tyler Fitzgerald, when did he even come up?
Fitzgerald has been ridiculous.
He has, but did he...
He's got 11 home runs in 24 games, but that is still a little much when you're going to rate him in 24 games ahead of Jackson Merrill. It's crazy.
It is
the
crazy.
The only guy that... And I like Mason Wynn. Imanaga was a nice flash for April and May. Michael Bush, where are the Cubs? I just don't get it.
This is so...
You're trying to tell me that you're a baseball expert. ESPN is basically posting you up as a baseball expert by giving you the job of breaking down these races. And then you do it and you tell me this guy should be sixth? That is just...
I can't believe it. I could stomach third.
I can't
sixth?
Stomach... I can stomach second. That's it.
And I had this argument all week with people on Twitter. Or X. Whatever you want to call it. How many guys have done what Jackson Merrill has done in regards to playing almost every single day? And if you take Jackson Merrill off of the Padres, They're in a much worse way. I don't know how many wins you take away or anything like that, but if you put up Jackson Merrill against Mason Wynn, you take Mason Wynn off the Cardinals, I don't think it's as big of a blow as it would be for the
Padres. Well, I think what he's, I believe what he's getting to is that Mason Wynn plays shortstop, and that's a really important position.
Is
but
it center field?
So is center field. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe that Bradford Doolittle qualifies as a, quote, baseball expert. The only guy that I would think that could say or write something this stupid would be normally Brian Kenny.
Someone on the chat said he's the next Brian Kenny.
That's just not paying attention to what's going on. That's all that is. I don't think I'm being, you know...
No, with what he's been doing and how he has won games for the Padres, he's had walk-off home runs. Well, he's had multi-home run games.
They put another stat up on the board today. In the last 63 years of baseball, only three other guys the age of Jackson Merrill have hit as many home runs in the ninth inning or later in one season than he has. He's had crucial home runs, walk-off, game-tying home runs, ninth inning, extra innings. Jackson Merrill's been great. I haven't seen Mason Wynn play every day. I get it. I haven't seen Michael Bush. Fitzgerald, sorry, I can't give it to you in 24 games, though you've been really good.
It's insane.
Jackson Merrill should be no lower than second, and we know we can make a hell of a case for him being first. As I brought up earlier today, he just helped the Padres win three games while Paul Skenes never left the dugout. And I understand, the best argument for Paul Skenes to win is that Paul Skenes is the Pirates. He is. He's the face of the whole franchise. Jackson Merrill can play comfortably with stars like Manny, Bogarts, you know, and on down the line, Fernando, et cetera. Jackson can just do his thing, bat sixth or seventh, and go quietly about his business. There's a lot more spotlight on Skenes, and he, for the most part, has lived up to all the hype. So if you want to argue Skenes, I'm going to at least entertain your argument. But I'm not going to entertain an argument that has Jackson Merrill sixth. Please.
That's not even.
And I can't tell you what Doolittle says about him here because he doesn't even mention him in the little write-up that follows.
So he doesn't even have a reason to put him sixth.
Well, he doesn't get to it. I mean...
You know, I haven't heard this clip, but you guys had Jackson on last week.
Maybe this will make everybody feel better. He has Matt Waldron seventh, right behind Jackson Merrill.
I'm sorry. I love it, but what?
I don't know. This just makes no
sense.
When
did this article get published?
Today.
Oh, my God.
August 8th.
So after
2024.
After he watched what happened last night with Jackson Merrill, he still kept sixth?
I'm going to give you here's what I'm going to say and what Tony says all the time. I doubt Bradford Doolittle saw what Jackson Merrill did.
Doing his job.
Actually, he did it on the East Coast
last night,
so he should have seen it.
But one's watching the Pirates unless Paul Skenes is pitching.
Well, this is why this article right here. I'm hitting it.
Oh my God! Stop! Wait!
George is getting angry. It's this article right here is why Jackson Merrill's not going to win the award. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot more Bradford Doolittles out there who just don't have a clue how valuable he's been.
It's unfortunate,
but you know what? Shame on them because you don't even need to see him. Just look at the statistics. He's number one in every category.
He is. He's hitting 40 points over the league average. He's first, as you said, in homers. He's first in RBIs. He's playing a position he's never played in his life until this year. He's played the most, when I checked on Monday, he was one out behind, who's the Rockies center fielder?
Doyle.
He's one out behind Doyle for most innings played as a center fielder. You can't tell me that he's a sixth choice for Rookie of the Year. Imanaga, like you said, great April, good May. He's fell off a little bit. I just cannot believe that. That's really hard to believe, and it really irks me. You guys had Jackson on the show last week. Do you want to play it
now?
Yeah,
let's hear what he had to say when we come back. Okay. I want to continue this conversation a little bit. What I'm looking for before I throw it to break is Bradford Doolittle's email address, but I don't see it here.
You know, so Taps you wants to tell you, Chris, the worst part about this is that you paid to read that.
Who said this?
Taps.
Thank you, Taps. I feel much worse now.
There's a growing theory, too. Actually, well, I'll just say this. There's a growing theory, too, that the Major League Baseball wants the Livy, Dunn, Paul Skeens thing to be like Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
problem is, Livy Dunn isn't as famous as Taylor Swift.
Not even in the neighborhood, yeah. Honestly. All right, there you have it. I told you you were not going to be a fan of Bradford Doolittle.
I'm not.
More Gwynn and Chris. We'll hear from Jackson Merrill and what he thought when he was on with us last week about winning the Rookie of the Year award. I'll give you a clue. I'm madder than he is about this list.
I bet you are. But yeah.
First traffic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No, it's World Series or nothing to me. I don't really have any other goals in this game besides winning. So, you know. Obviously, an award is cool, but it's really nothing compared to winning a World Series. You know, I'd love to do both. That'd be awesome. But
all right, that was Jackson Merrill himself on with us last week, our Fire Friday interview, talking about what the Rookie of the Year meant to him. He said, not much. I want to win the World Series. He did say it would be great to win both.
Yeah.
But he's putting winning way ahead of award winning. And that's one of the reasons we like him. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris Crisello, Mr. Scraby today.
Can't believe that you guys had Jackson Merrill on the one Friar Friday. I'm not here.
Like, sorry about that.
I'm the biggest Jackson Merrill fan.
I believe that's why they let us have him.
Because they didn't want me to freak out.
Because you weren't here.
Fanboy.
Yeah. You know, we're going back to this Bradford Doolittle article for just a second.
He's from Chicago, by the way.
And I don't want to give you any. I think he is Doolittle.
Mark on the chat.
He writes for Kansas City Star, according to the ESPN that I looked at. Anyway, neither here nor there. Here's why he ranks Jackson Merrill sixth, at least in my estimation. I mean, yeah, I haven't talked to him, but here's why he ranks him sixth. Jackson Merrill's WAR is 2.4. Just stick with me for a second. The guy he ranks second, Mason Wynn, is 4.0. And that's even higher than Skeens, who's 3.8. Michael Bush is 3.2. Imanaga's 2.6. All of the guys ahead of Jackson Merrill on Bradford Doolittle's list have a higher WAR. But my thinking is what I always think about WAR. It's a stupid made-up statistic. And if you don't think it is, just look at those numbers right there. You're going to tell me that all of these guys are... Just look at it with your eyes. Watch what you're watching. You're going to tell me that Michael Bush has had a better, more impactful season than Jackson Merrill? Well, Bush is 3.2, Merrill's 2.4. Bush must be that much better.
Yeah.
No, he isn't better, and that's why WAR is stupid as far as I'm concerned, and I will always feel this way. Mason Wynn has 9 homers and 41 RBIs, and he's hitting .282. Jackson Merrill is crushing him in every one of those categories. Jackson Merrill even has more stolen bases, 11 to 10. Mason Wynn plays shortstop. Jackson Merrill plays an important position, too, on his team, and he never got to play it before this year.
Yeah.
And how many game-winning minutes do you remember from Mason Wynn this year?
I'm sure
recall. The Cardinals might be able to give us a couple.
Yeah.
But I can give you a bunch from Jackson Merrill on our side. I don't want to put Mason Wynn down. What I'm trying to get to is he's a 4.0 and Merrill's a 2.4. And just the eye test should tell you that WAR, those WAR numbers are stupid.
Yeah, when you look at it like that, like if you're going to be ranking your rookies of the year by WAR, then I don't think you're actually doing your job because you need to be able to.
I think you ought to be able to have a little more depth to your knowledge and to your research.
And I don't know how Jackson Merrill's WAR is so low because of the walk-off home runs.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I guess his OPS might be a little low.
That's what I'm saying. The WAR is stupid. I'm sorry. The WAR is stupid. I what else can I tell you? But there's so many people who put everything on it, including an ESPN national writer who's looking at the Rookie of the Year and basically is giving the rankings based on WAR.
Yeah, that's not.
You're not giving me any knowledge there. You're just regurgitating a statistic.
And the whole thing with Paul Skeens and his WAR, yeah, he's been great, but like I really do feel genuinely strong that Jackson Merrill does it every single day. It's way more difficult to do what Jackson Merrill's done, be as consistent as he's been this year, not really even go into a prolonged slump. I think it was like 6 games that he had earlier this year. It's just like I don't understand why these things can't... Why these people can't just put aside the popularity of a player to actually call out the player who's the best.
Jackson Merrill could end up winning the Rookie of the Year award, but I think it's unlikely. And articles like this are why I think it's unlikely.
I think it's already Paul Skeens' to lose because they've already crowned him.
Matt Snyder, who is as big of a Padre fan as there is, told us that Skeens is going to be almost impossible to beat.
Yeah.
So did Aldin Gonzalez.
Yeah.
These are national guys who, I believe, both respect what Jackson Merrill has done a bit more than Doolittle does. They'll still tell you that Skeens is probably going to get it. But you know what else there is to say? There's 7 weeks of baseball to go.
True.
A lot still that can happen. So, all right.
Tyler wants to know, Brian Kenny thing. Everybody wants us to bring up the fact that he asked the Padres, the Mets, and one other team to rebuild earlier this year. And all of the teams that he asked to rebuild are leading the wild card race. The Cardinals was the other one.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you just say things? Do you just say things because you want it to go viral? Because you want people to hate it? I don't get it. I'm not willing to be that person.
Brian Kenny, I can't say it.
No, please don't.
Bad guy.
Okay, come on.
What he did to Joe Musgrove tells me that right then and there. And the fact that he didn't have enough courtesy to apologize. That's all I need to know about the guy.
Yeah.
All right, more Gwynn and Chris coming up. Scoreboard is rolling in the National Football League. Spring training action for the NFL. 14-3. Giants putting it on the Lions tonight. Boy, who said the Lions were going to be good this year? Everybody. But the Giants are just beating them down tonight, Scrabe.
I think the Lions are going to take a step back this year.
It's so stupid. No, they're not.
I think they're going to take a step back.
You hope that they take a step back this year.
I think so.
That's all you can dream about.
I know.
The other game, 7-0 New England over Carolina. Gotta love spring training football. 5:39 is the time. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, and Tony Gwynn Jr. on vacation. One thing we had a nice time with a little earlier today was our visit with our guy, Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union-Tribune. He's probably on his way to eat dinner at Chick-fil-A right now. But he was on with us earlier getting us ready for the San Diego State Aztec football season. Yeah. Fan Fest this weekend down at Snapdragon Stadium.
The Snappy.
I had to get down there, Scrabe. You know, I've been on the field down there before now because I ran the flag out for the rugby game. So I'm an official, on turf kind of guy down there.
How did you feel? Did you feel like you were some sort of god?
Athlete? No, I just felt like I didn't want to fall down and trip and embarrass myself.
That's true. It's fake turf, or is it real grass?
I don't know what it is. It's a fast track. That's all I'll say. It's like
what
it seems
does that mean?
It seems as like it's as hard as this table. Like there's no give to. There's no push.
Oh, then it's got
to
be. I don't think it's artificial turf.
I think it's some sort of artificial turf.
Really?
Or artificial real grass, whatever that stuff is. It doesn't. I don't think it has the little black beads under it.
Okay,
like
then
they
it's real grass.
I don't know if it's that either.
Is it Kentucky bluegrass?
All right, never mind. You shouldn't have asked me.
All
I know is it's grass and it's cut really short and it seems like you could go fast on it. That's my story.
You can go fast like Ricky Bobby.
All right. It's my story. I'm sticking to it. I got nothing else to add other than this is traffic. And now, after that, you'll find out.
According to two sources, latitude 36 Bermuda grass is used. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the quickest I can come up with it.
That's good.
All right.
Very good. All right. Let's hear about the Aztecs after traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Going to find the two left lanes blocked on Southbound 15 with a crash right before the 52 car and motorcycle involved in that. Also, collision on the Southbound 805 on or near the Palm Avenue off-ramp and Southbound 67 Scripps Poway Parkway, a collision. Also in the East County, westbound side of the 84 El Cajon Boulevard stalled car in one of the middle lanes. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's hope things go that well for the San Diego State football team. Fan Fest coming up this weekend. The season is upon us. That means our guy, Kirk Kenny, is upon us from the San Diego Union-Tribune, frequent contributor to this program. Kirk, before we get too far into it, how many days is the Chick-fil-A streak at now?
Oh, I forgot about this.
Oh, how could you forget about
know.
This?
I don't
this
know.
Is the most important thing ever.
I knew you were going to ask, so I just totaled it up, and it is day 1,131.
This is ridiculous. Get out of here.
It's so crazy.
1,131 days that Kirk Kenny has eaten at Chick-fil-A. Not counting Sundays, of course, because the...
Wow.
It's closed on Sundays.
Yeah, so you're saved there.
But every other day of the week, Kirk Kenny has a meal at Chick-fil-A. Establishing you, Kirk, as a perfect contributor to this show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody as Looney Tunes as you belongs on this program.
Yes.
So,
did you get your commercial yet from Chick-fil-A?
No kidding.
Have they filmed that yet?
When are they going to...
It's a good thing. You know what? It's a good thing I'm left-handed because that seemed like a very much a left-handed compliment.
It did. It was a left-handed compliment.
Hey, you know me, Kirk, and you've known me a long time. As Looney Tunes as they get. So
yes.
It's a, we're happy to have you with us. Wait, you asked about...
Oh, yes.
Wasn't there a commercial in the works or
something? Have you filmed this yet? When can we look for it?
When is this happening?
I am not yet at liberty. I am not yet at liberty to divulge that, but you guys will be the first to know.
Okay, you'll debut your Chick-fil-A commercial with Gwen and Chris.
Kirk Kenny, 1,131 days in a row.
I can't wait for those commercials when they're like, hey, when did you get the idea to come here every day?
Kirk Kenny is going to be the next famous guy like Jared was on Subway.
Oh, someone is a...
I don't know if we want to go down that
road. Yes, I know. I was a little nervous about going down that road there.
No, Jared's a whole other story.
Yeah, a little ugly.
Someone said, do we have receipts to prove this number? We don't need to because the restaurant knows and celebrated this.
Scraby and I were at his 1,000th day.
We were.
I mean, they threw him a party at the Chick-fil-A. And you're right, Scraby, the manager, the owner, I mean, everybody came out to celebrate Kirk on that. So, yes, we don't need receipts.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
Well, look, I think we got one that day,
yes.
And we appreciated it very much. We did.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, digressing.
Why were we talking again?
I don't know. Digressing is what we seem to do best on this program. Aztecs football, of course. And, we had Coach Lewis on last week, and it was good having him. This guy, you can't help but be excited. Every time, you know, we talk to him, I think anybody talks to him. I mean, he's got people feeling up, you know, upbeat. And, you know, the whole program just seems that way from the day he took over till now. Isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah, it's very much a different vibe from the moment you step out there. Even in practice, there's music pumping and, you know, everything's fast, fast, fast for that Aztec fast offense. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Is with all the winning that the Aztecs did over the last decade, you know, fans started getting a little bit complacent because they didn't see enough offense. And so that's Eddie Wicker went out and hired a guy that's going to promise some offense. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they open it up on the 31st of this month down at Snapdragon Stadium. Give us a little update on some of the positional battles of importance. I know you wrote something about the quarterbacks the other day, and everybody wants to know who's going to be the signal caller. How's that looking right now?
That's what Saturday's Fan Fest will be, kind of our first extended glimpse of the battle between Danny O'Neill, a true freshman from Indiana, and A.J. Duffy, who's a sophomore transfer from Florida State, but who grew up locally here in Southern California. So charting their progress will be interesting. I have to give the advantage to Duffy just because he's been around college football for 2 years, but all indications are that Danny O'Neill's pretty talented too, so it's been a lot of fun to watch those two compete.
Talking to Kirk Kenny here of San Diego Union Tribune, I want to talk about, maybe you haven't been able to talk to Coach Lewis about this or off the record, anything like that, but Colorado seemed like it was a nightmare last year to be at, and he was there, he was removed as the offensive coordinator. Do you think that that kind of is going to help him be successful this year, prove to Dion, prove to people around college football that he is a guy who can be successful as a coach?
I don't think he's out looking to prove something to them. I think what he has said so far is every stop you make in your career, you try and pick up things and learn some things. And so I think he learned a few things there that he wants to embrace and others that maybe he doesn't. And mainly it's here's this philosophy of spreading the ball around and taking what the defense gives you and going, you know, quick to the line and putting the defense on its heels. And that's what he'll look to do with San Diego State now.
Kirk Kenny is with us. He wrote an article today in the paper Scraby,
mm-hmm.
about our guy.
I saw it.
Your and mine's guy.
Yeah.
Dale Sean Staley. How is he our guy? Well, I don't know, Kirk, if you were aware, but about 3 weeks ago, Dale Sean Staley came into studio for an hour, sat in with us, asked us a million questions. He had a couple of his teammates with him, and apparently he wants to get into sports talk radio someday.
Yeah.
Try to take our jobs. Really nice kid. He's from Kansas City, transferred from Northern Iowa. And from what I read today, seems like he's making a mark already on defense.
Yeah, I've been seeing him make plays. Just yesterday I watched him pick off a pass, and he made an impression when he transferred here in early for the spring and made an impression then and put him atop the depth chart, and I think he's just continued to build on that. And he's a guy that I think is going to be a real playmaker for them, and they're pretty excited about it. I had a good time talking with him the other day, and especially I asked, what do you think of San Diego? And he said he's a view guy. So he's talking about, he loves, being along the beach and maybe on a quiet evening just listening to the ocean or going, walking in the hills around town and going on a walk. So, that was kind of refreshing just to hear that kind of perspective.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure he had a wonderful view at Northern Iowa, but Scraby just spent 6 days in Iowa, yes. So there must be something about Iowa that I don't know about.
I didn't know it took that long to get a car fit.
The Iowa is actually more hilly than you would think, and it has more vista points than you would think.
No, I've been to Omaha 10 times. And
well, that's
right
Nebraska.
The bridge is Iowa. And I'll never forget a couple times they had big rainstorms, and it's like they need to find a place to pull the plug so the water will drain. It was flooded for like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's why Scraby and his family had a reunion.
We were in Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque on the mighty Mississippi. So.
This is what they do in the Scraby family.
Back to Aztec football.
Did you just
try
and find where's the exact middle point of the United States? Is that how you guys decided to meet?
No, my grandparents decided to pick the least accessible part of the country to live in. It's like an hour and a half one way to an airport, 3 hours to Chicago, all of this stuff. But yes, anyway.
I heard they don't even have ESPN there.
Only our studio was the last place.
I did actually watch a lot of local news, and Caitlin Clark is a superstar
in Iowa.
Right. And she went to Des Moines, I guess, while we were there, and she surprised a bunch of kids at a school, and it was like it was the biggest thing
Mardi
ever.
Gras.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, back to the Aztecs team. Yeah, she is a rock star. With all the focus on the offense, Kirk. What about the defense? Are the Aztecs going to be that defensive team that we know and love, or is the defense kind of taking backseat a little bit, even though they're never going to admit it to the offense?
Well, I think the offense is going to definitely get the headlines, but the defense looks like it'll be pretty good again. They've brought in several transfers. One thing I noted coming into camp is 16 of the 22 starting spots are on the depth chart coming into camp are taken up by transfers. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And a particular area that they've added players is on the defensive line on the edges. And so I think that's an area to watch in this fan fest and in the first few weeks of the season, some of those new guys they brought in on the edge.
How about the skill players beyond the quarterback position, Kirk? I must say, somebody watches every game, and I didn't think anybody ever really grabbed hold, and you kind of confirmed this when we talked last year. Nobody ever really grabbed hold of that running back position. They never really established anybody on the outside wide receiver-wise. Guys had, some moments here and there. Are there new guys or are there returning guys that are going to be better?
Yeah, that's a position I was going to mention first. A kid, Marquez Cooper, is a transfer from Ball State, but he actually played for Sean Lewis at Kent State for 3 years before that. He is the nation's active rushing leader, and so he just transferred in the last few months, and so it's going to be a lot of fun to see what he can do. He's listed atop the depth chart, sharing the starting position with Kenan Christian. So the running back's room is loaded again, but we haven't really gotten a glimpse to see what all Marquez Cooper can do, so that's another thing we're going to be able to see on Saturday.
This is kind of a weird question, but I'm a weird guy, so I'm going to go with it anyway. But
I always get worried when he starts like this.
Matt Araiza is punting for the Kansas City Chiefs. He got the starting job. He punted one the other day, I think 75 yards in the air or something like that, which is great for him. But what's the relationship between the school and Matarazza? Because he has been cleared of the things that he was accused of doing, but, you know, it puts the school in a little bit of a weird spot. Is there anything there, or, you know, is it just something we're going to have to see as time goes along?
I think the relationship is still good. I think they've congratulated him when he's been signed, and you know, it's still a good relationship. I don't know where exactly to go with that.
I know.
You know, things have been resolved. He's playing football again, and I think everybody's moving forward.
It's a good thing for sure. Kirk Kenny is with us. Aztecs opening. Texas A&M Commerce is the first opponent, August 31st. You know, I think a lot of people are going to want to come out, get a look at Sean Lewis's team, but I got to be honest. I think the game that I'm really circling is the next one, September 7th, when they're home to Oregon State. You know, you're getting a team out of the Pac-2 to come in here. And, you know, that to me can be kind of a statement. I mean, you go out and you know, roll up some points against that team and, you know, maybe win that game, Kirk. What's the fanfare looking like for these first two home games?
I just got an update today, and I guess season tickets are approaching 10,000, which their goal was to hit 9,300 this year. So
wow.
I think that's a good sign for them. And it is a pretty good schedule. Both Oregon State and Washington State will be playing at Snapdragon. They face Cal on the road. But you're right. I think, you know, obviously they should be able to handle Texas A&M Commerce pretty well. So, you know, I don't think they're going to pull out every trick of the playbook for that game. So what we see against Oregon will probably be more of the telltale signs of what the team's going to be all about.
Yeah, that's going to be September 7th. It's a night game. I think, you know, everyone's going to kind of circle the calendar for that second game. Although, you know, look, I'm glad to hear the tickets are going well for the open. All right, if you want to hear the rest of that with Kurt Kenny.
There was like 10 seconds left.
There was only 10 seconds left. So probably not worth your time, but you can hear any part of the show, including my rambling on about how dumb Bradford Doolittle is.
All the Wynn people are in my DMs right now.
Well, I didn't say Wynn's a bad player. He's not that far ahead of Jackson Merrill.
Oh, but shortstop is just so much harder to play.
Uh-huh. Gwynn and Chris is back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we'll have Brian Hoying as our Friar Friday interview, the Padres' new right-hander, who used to play for the Marlins, which is who the Padres play tomorrow night. So we'll see you then. Have a good rest of your Thursday. The Scraby Chronicles are next.
Woo!
With Matt Scraby.
Woo!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.